Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a year of jubilee for you. Then each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan. So if I actually did this right, if you read back in verse 9, I should probably have a shofar here, which is a ram's horn, and blasting out a long note to signify the beginning of our 50th year. The 50th year, which is known as the year of Jubilee, as we look in the Bible. I genuinely did look if I could purchase one in time. And who knows, there might be one that arrives at some point throughout this year. We'll see what happens. So happy new year, River Church. Happy 50th birthday. And what a year we have ahead of us. We're going to spend a moment this morning just refreshing ourselves on the vision that we cast right back at the start of 2024, at the beginning of the new season that we started as a church. As I said a year ago, this is a vision for a season. It's not our vision for just the next 12 months. We're going to start with something else and carry on. So we are continuing on. We met as the leadership team back a couple of months ago. We're praying. We're going, God, what have you got in store for us in this next year? Where are you leading us? What are you doing? We felt so strongly that we are where God wants us to be, that we need to continue persevering, continue pursuing him, digging deeper. There's going to be some new elements that come through or some refresh bit, and I'm going to touch on that towards the end of my message, as much as I'm also going to be coming back to the topic of the year of Jubilee towards the end of this message and look how it reflects on the next couple of months ahead of us. So I've got four banners that surround me here, and we unrolled these for the first time a year ago, and since then we've put them up every single week to be a constant reminder of our vision and our direction as a church family. And these themes in these banners have woven through our teaching series, and they will continue to do so as we move through the next year ahead as we walk together with Jesus. There was a beautiful phrase that kept on coming up time and time again in that teaching series, which really sums up what God's been doing in us as a fellowship. We are watered by the Spirit to grow more like Jesus, such that we can't help but bring life wherever we live. We are watered by the Spirit to grow more like Jesus, such that we can't help but bring life wherever we live. So, on this pink banner over here, we have our core verse as River Church. This is the verse that River Church was birthed out of 50 years ago. Wherever the river flows, everything will live. And that is coming from Ezekiel 47. It's kind of like a snippet of verse 9, but actually does condense and summarize most of Isaiah 47, talking about that river flowing out of that temple through the land. And as that river flows through the land, it brings life to all of the land that it flows through. So we spent much of the first part of 2024 looking at what it means to be a river of life. We are River Church. The river flows from the presence of God, the temple, and then from the presence of God, and it grows deep within us. God is challenging us as individuals and as a church to grow deeper. We want our roots to grow deep in God, and we also want our channel, our river channel, to grow deep in God, to allow us to carry more and more of what he has for us, through us, that we are able to be his hands and his feet. So that river starts as a trickle at the very start of the estuary. It starts, it starts as a trickle coming down, and as it flows down through the landscape, it gets wider and it gets deeper. That is just a river. A river doesn't do anything backwards. It doesn't start big and wide and it finishes really narrow with the dribble coming out at the end. And we're to be like that as well. We are a river in turn that we want to become from a trickle as we first encounter Jesus. And we want to be turned into a torrent as our tributaries feed into it, as we grow wide and we grow deeper and we become ever more like Jesus. So the river itself is a coursing stream of life and abundance. So in that stream we read in Ezekiel, there's life in the river, but there's also life outside the river. The river is providing sustenance and life to the land around it. turning not only in the land around it, providing this barren landscape life, but also where it ends up going. So the river ends up going into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a perfect picture of that barrenness. There, nothing can survive in the Dead Sea. It's so salty. Yet when this river impacts this sea, it turns the salty water fresh and allows life to thrive in it. So we want to grow deeper. We want to impact through us growing deeper and us receiving more of God and us becoming more like Jesus, we want to impact those around us as well. And that's what you see with the life around the riverbanks flourishing, and there's green pastures and there's trees and there's landscape. And we want to do this by doing the things that Jesus wants us to do. And that's how we impact our community around us, not just with our presence, but also with our doing. So on the other three banners here, it's an expression of how we do this. We begin with this yellow banner, which is Jesus's discipleship model, which is to be with Jesus, to then become more like Jesus, and then to go and do as Jesus did. And this was a rabbi's discipleship model. That was how a rabbi brought his students around him and how those students learned. They learned by walking in step, walking side by side with their teacher. And that's how Jesus wants us to grow. Jesus wants us to walk hand in hand with him, step in step. And as we walk with him, we're going to start mimicking. We're going to be with him, so we're going to learn from him. And then as we walk with him, you end up becoming more like him because you start taking on his mannerisms. You learn the way he does things. You repeat the things he says. So as you read scripture, that should be able to just flow off our tongues. And then finally, we're able to then go and do as Jesus did. And in that order, if you go and try and do on the first day of being a Christian as Jesus did, you're going to struggle. You might be able to do it by the grace of God, but you're going to struggle. Yet, if you spend time being with God, Jesus, if you spend time being with God, if you spend time becoming like Jesus, taking on that persona, being a mirror image, a reflection, a light bearer, you're going to be really effective at doing what Jesus did. So as we allow Jesus to shape and mold us, and our channel, our river channel grows deeper and deeper, we allow ourselves to be dredged by Jesus. Because don't forget, as you walk through life, you build up a bit of yuck and dirt along the way. We all do. We're all humans, okay? And if we allow Jesus to shape and change us, we also allow Jesus access to us to get rid of that sediment, flow away the yuck and the stuff that's not needed to allow for a smooth flowing river as opposed to one that is drying up and is a dry riverbed. So our tributaries that allow us to grow deeper, we start from flowing from God, but we need to continue being able to flow from God. And that's where those tributaries come in. And that's where our spiritual formations come in, our practices of being with Jesus, our worship, our reading of scripture, our practicing the Sabbath, time through prayer and devotion, fasting, breaking bread together, all allow us to grow deeper and grow wider because we're connecting with God. We're spending more time with him, and that's constantly feeding us so that we're able to become more like Jesus ultimately. Dallas Willard describes spiritual formation like this. Spiritual formation in the Christian tradition is a process of increasingly becoming possessed and permeated by the character traits of Jesus as we walk in the easy yoke of discipleship with Jesus, our teacher. I'm going to read that one more time, just so that I don't stumble over my words. Spiritual formation in the Christian tradition is the process of increasingly becoming possessed and permeated by the character traits of Jesus as we walk in the easy yoke of discipleship with our teacher. So our formation is how we change to become more like Jesus as we spend time with him. And our spiritual formation needs to be an intentional decision to spend time with him, but it takes a lifetime of practice and dedication to continue doing. You can't just read your Bible one day of a year. You've got to pick up scripture multiple times a year. You can't just pray once a fortnight. Actually, you need to be spending time intentionally with Jesus, and it takes a lifetime of dedication and practice to get right. It is a practice. So finally, come back over to the orange banner here, the community one. And this is the is twofold. It's the outworking of it's the outworking. Actually, we'll start with the other one. It's inwardly as a community, as a family. We are here to support each other. We are community together. We are a church community. We are a church family. And we are here to champion each other, to encourage each other, to walk with each other, to help each other. And then the other part of community is the outwardness of community. It's what we do out in our communities with our neighbours, when we're over at Larchfield having community lunch after this, when we're doing outreach things like our One Big Saturday or CAP or you name it, all these different sorts of things that we do as a church and have done in the past and are going to continue doing, or we're going to pick up new things. We do things for our community because we want to spend time with them. We want to demonstrate the love of Jesus to them. So as we spill out into our communities doing as Jesus did, we are flooding this space, this community with good news. So to wrap that up, we are watered by the Spirit to grow more like Jesus so that we can't help but bring life wherever we live. And we're going to continue to do just that in 2025. If you missed any of our teaching series this time last year throughout January and February, in fact, I think it finished on the 5th of March or something, you can go on our website, you can go on our YouTube channel, you can go and catch up with those. It's something that's going to be really important to digest time and time again, to go back to look at what the roots of what we're doing at the moment as a church and what God is calling us to do. Okay, the year of Jubilee, the year of radical release. This is a super Sabbath. So the Jubilee occurs every 50 years. Yes, I'll finish with those. So the Jubilee occurs every 50 years. And this, for most people, is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with where a Jubilee falls. It's not just you turn 50 and you have the Jubilee. The Jubilee is a reoccurring event. And for most people, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. For those that are young enough to remember their first Jubilee, they're probably too young to have it actually impact their lives, and they're going to reap the benefits of it when they are older. And this, as you look biblically, was something that an impoverished Israel would have spent most of their lifetime anticipating and looking towards, holding out in the knowledge that when this year of Jubilee comes, that all will be made better and all will be restored. It's a reset. When Robin was talking about the prayer boards, the top word there is reset. And the year of Jubilee is a reset year. And this is radical. It resets the lives and the land of Israel, and it's a reminder that no matter what the world has to throw at you, there is still hope. But this is all pre-Jesus. So this was their hope. So Israel every 50 years was living in hope for the next Jubilee year. When we get to Jesus, It's unsurprising that Jesus' vision and Jesus' movement was a Jubilee movement. He was able to reflect on that. In fact, he began his ministry by reading from Isaiah 61, announcing the Jubilee. He says that it is the favorable year of the Lord, the year of release. Today, these things are fulfilled in your hearing. And that was how Jesus kicked off his ministry in the temple as he was reading from Scripture. And he was reading from Isaiah there, which was pointing towards Jesus. It did a forwards and backwards there. It's a, we like Jesus, we like the Bible. So it's not surprising that Jesus points towards this as a Jubilee image, towards himself, towards his ministry as a Jubilee image, and that it's what a restored Eden model is. It's equality, it's peace, it's forgiveness, it's rest, it's restoration. It is debts wiped clean for all. And it's for all those that are united with God. It was provision from God to his people, to his family, to his chosen family. And it is the ultimate destination. That is still what we look forward to as the new heaven and the new earth. It is the perfect image. It still remains to be. We're not there yet. We've got lots to do. Moving on. So Israel were called to weave rhythms of seven into their calendar. This is just jumping about a bit. And in that is through their week by week, their month by month, and their year by year calendars as well. And we talk about one of those on a semi-regular basis. We talk about Sabbath, which is one of those rhythms of seven. Every 7 days, stop and have a day of rest. Then spread throughout the year, there were stop points in the year as well. There were feast days, which were days to stop and spend time to feast and point your focus towards God. And lastly, we spoke at the end of last year about the Day of Atonement. That was how we closed off the last year in 2024. And this is another stop point. This is another rest point, a moment that that they built towards in their calendar. And then it got to this moment. But the ultimate climax, the ultimate summit was this Jubilee. That was the ultimate, it was after the end of the 49th year. So after that, those rhythms of seven going through, you get to the final rhythm of seven and you get to the year of Jubilee. And this would have been a super Sabbath, a super Shabbat. Shabbat meaning stop. And in this moment, this year, you're invited to stop. You're invited to rest. You're invited to focus and settle in. Imagine like your perfect Sunday. What does it look like? You know, you might go to church in the morning, you go back, you have your roast, and then it's almost like a Christmas day. You finish your food, you've got a full stomach, you then kind of snuggle down into your favorite chair and you just rest. That's what Shabbat is meant to be. It's meant to be you get all of your jobs done before your Sabbath day. Your dishes are done. Everything's prepared for the next day. House clean and tidy. And you go into that day and you just be. You just relax. And that is what Sabbath's meant to be. It's meant to be a time of rest. And this year of Jubilee is a super Sabbath. It is a year of spending time with God, of restoration, of restoring. It's also described in Leviticus as a year where all things are restored to the way they were before, the way that they were meant to be. So employees and servants were returned home to their lands. Debts were forgiven. And the biggest one of all, the lands that had maybe changed hands over those last 50 years were returned back to their original owners. And this is where part of those debts are restored. That actually, this is just radical. You know, imagine, you know, you've bought a piece of land somewhere on the other side of Jerusalem or somewhere, and you've been growing vineyards, and then you get to the year of Jubilee, and you have to return that back to its original owner. That original owner has been through hardship and difficulties, but actually they're looking forward to that year when they get back what was assigned to them by God originally, and those assignments are spread back out again. It's radical, and it's probably even more radical to think about it now than it was than when they were walking and living through it several thousand years ago. And one part that has really struck me, and I touched very lightly on at the end of last year, was it was a year to rely on God. So in the year, in the 50th year, they were not allowed to work and toil the land. They weren't allowed to plant and harvest and sow and reap. They had to rely on God's provision. And they did that through God providing all that they needed, that he provided a 3-year harvest in the year 49. So in the 49th year, they would receive a 3-year harvest that would tide them through the year where they the year of harvest from that year, the year of harvest that was needed for the year of Jubilee when they were able to then eat from that. And then, of course, they reached the year 51 or back to the year one again, whatever it looks like, and they're planting again. So they've still got no food there. So God has provided a 3-year harvest for them to be sustained, for them to relax. And all that they were allowed to do, were they were allowed to just pick what the land provided, what the land naturally grew. So they were heavily reliant on what God was doing and what God was giving to them. So the year of Jubilee was provision from God. It was provision from God, and it was for people that were committed to him. And it began with these horns ringing out. And what would have happened is as they began, there would have been horns throughout the land. So everyone knew what was going on. And it would start from one place. And then as soon as one person heard that horn being blown, a mile down the road, the next one would start. And then a mile down the road, the next one would start. And there would just be these sounds of trumpets just playing throughout the land to signify the beginning of this year, a year which they were looking forward to and were celebrating. And it is a radical year, and this is a year that where God, people look back towards God again and again, and people grew deeper with God because they were trusting in God. They had to trust with God. And I think when you have to rely on someone, then you form an ultimate bond of trust with them. You know, it's like a baby and mother scenario where that newborn is so reliant on its mother to provide what it needs that there is a bond that is like unbroken there. And it's that same bond that is being developed in this year of Jubilee between the people of God and God himself as God was providing all that they needed. And this required a Jubilee mindset and a Jubilee way of living. It called a change to the way that they were doing things because you couldn't just carry on doing things the way they were before. You'd have to stop, reset, rethink, reconsider. It's about trusting in God that there'll be enough and that God will provide. And there are lots of ways that we can learn to trust to grow in God. And part of it comes from spending time with God. And we're going to be looking at spending time with God over the next few weeks. I can't remember. I think we're doing it to the end of February. I think there might be a few other dates of other bits slotted in there as well. But we're going to be looking at our spiritual rhythms. We're going to be looking at our spiritual disciplines, the things that we do to connect in with God. Going back over some of these you would have not heard of. Some of these you might have tried and practiced before. Some of these are things that you've done in the past, but have left by the wayside along the way. And it's an encouragement to pick up an element of how do I spend time with God in my day by day, my week by week, so that we're able to form that bond with God, to be able to trust and rely on him. And this is a platform for us to then live out a Jubilee lifestyle, a lifestyle which is reliant on God. And we want to be spending time listening to what God is saying to us. Through spending time with God and growing deeper with him, we're able to unite stronger. We're able to hear his voice. When we spend time in God's presence, then you're able to discern exactly what he's saying to you. What is his will? What is he speaking to you? We've finished our series on his promises for us, but that continues throughout our life. God has promises to us, and we need to be having our ears tuned into what God's saying so that we're able to walk in step with him. And that also goes back to that discipleship model that Jesus has for us, that actually as we grow with him, as we continue, this continues looping around. Just because you get to the end and you're doing what Jesus calls us to do, that should not affect us spending time with Jesus. That should not affect us changing ourselves to become more like him, to be more like Jesus. So that is what the Jubilee is about in a nutshell, in a very short nutshell. There is so much more to understand and learn about what a Jubilee would mean for the Israelites back in, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. But actually, what does it mean for us right now? Well, this is what's going to start shaping the year ahead of us. It's a year where we can be growing more and more. Where's my first page gone? It's a year to set apart as holy. That's how Leviticus 25:10 starts. Set this year apart as holy. And that's what we want to do. We want to set this part, set apart this year as marked as a time which God is going to do amazing things through us, that God is going to do amazing things with us as a community and in us individually. And there's nothing crazy special about this next year. We could pick any year and say, this is the year we're going to mark as special and unique. But actually, there is something special that about some of these biblical numbers, about looking at the 50th year and going, you know what? We're going to call this. We're going to proclaim this and say, God, we know you've got some amazing things for us. And actually, God's waiting for us to respond to him, to allow him to do what he wants to do. If we walk through this year passively like any other year, we'll get through the year. It'll be a fine year. We'll probably spend a bit of time with God, a bit of time with each other. But actually, we want to mark this year and set it apart as different, and set it apart as holy, and set it apart as a time when we're going to see God do amazing things with us as River Church. So how do the Jews begin any Sabbath? What's the first thing they do? They had bread. They broke bread together. They started any Sabbath by breaking bread. We call it communion. You can call it breaking bread. You can call it what you want. But they spent time saying a prayer. They spent time breaking bread together. It would have just been around the meal table. We spoke about this back in, what, May, June, July. I can't remember when we did the message on communion. But it would have been a dining table experience. It would have been come to the table, break bread together. And we're going to do just that. We're going to break bread together. We're going to follow in the footsteps of our ancestors, just as they've done for several thousand years, sharing a meal and some time together, remembering Jesus. That's what we can do. That's what we're called to do with communion, is we are called to use communion to remember Jesus, remember what he has done, to look at what he's doing now, and to allow that to model and frame what we expect Jesus to be doing in our next season, as we look ahead into our next days and our next years and our next months, and allow it to shape our thoughts and our directions, to focus in as we choose to follow him.